percent. Awesome. Praise God. On a knee and a hip. Praise God. That's good, isn't it? Okay, what else do we have? Remember, if it's 1% better, it's better. Okay, yes. Okay, awesome. So she was having some back problems, a teenager over here, having some back problems, but now she's not. That's awesome. Praise God, ladies.
About 75% improvement over like head cold.
Okay, issues. Head cold issues, that kind of stuff, sinus issues, 75% improved. Awesome. Awesome. So you had a pain in your right side or right in here? Okay. And by the end of the class last week, you had it a week for about a week. And then by the end of the class last week, you were better. Awesome. Praise God. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. And then Kathy, right. So Kathy, she was one of the ones last week we had a word of knowledge for a pain above the left eye in the head, and she had been suffering from the pain up there, and by the end of the class, or during the class, it went away, correct? Well, she wasn't feeling really good this morning, so they didn't come to church, but they watched online through a live stream. And when do you remember when Pastor had a word of knowledge for someone with the pain back here in the back? Well, that was Kathy, and she received in her home while she was watching Facebook Live this morning. So I think that's just absolutely awesome. Let's praise God for that. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that you are showing up in full manifestation, and we're going to continue to hear more and more and more and more and more and more results, because we're expecting your word to be performed in our midst. And we thank you, Father God, for that. Amen. Amen. So there's a lot of things going on. I want you to continue to, you know, if those are things that you didn't write down, ladies, please write those things down, okay? Write those things down, because testimonies, we said this a couple years ago, testimonies ignite testimonies. When we go back and we look at the faithfulness of God and His Word, it just stirs us up. It encourages us to keep going. Okay, and to trust in His Word. Now, some of the things that we went over last week, and hopefully this is a little bit easier for you to see. I can turn it around some over here, guys, so that you can see it. On your papers, your handouts, we have last week's message, okay, and where we kind of ended, and then we've got this week's message. So I'll give you some instructions in just a minute, but I want us to make sure that we understand this. The reason that we're having healing school is healing is much needed. And Jesus taught the gospel, taught the word of God. And it says many times that he was preaching and teaching and healing. There are several places that he was doing that. When he was moved with compassion, what did he do? He preached, he taught, and he healed. Well, we are in the same position as Jesus, because he said that we're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then it says what we're supposed to be doing with the gospel after we're preaching. There's supposed to be signs and wonders. Amen? And we'll get into that in a little bit. But I just wanted to just remind us, you've got your paper there. You see my little drawings on there. Made it in color for you, for those people who need some extra color there. All right? We want to change our doubts, our unbeliefs, our beliefs, our traditions, our questions. We want to change those things that happen in our life that we don't fully understand, or we think we understand. And we want to transform, like Pastor's messages this morning were absolutely awesome, and about the renewing of the mind and how our lives transform by the renewing of the mind. And that's what we want to do. We want to take our questions. We want to take our we just don't even know. There's some things we just don't know. But we want to take those things and we want to transform them with the Word of God. Now, experiences are great. Testimonies ignite other testimonies. But we need to make sure that we don't base our life on just a testimony alone or an experience alone. We base it on what does the Word of God say. So we're all on the same page, right? Okay? And we want to turn that, we want to transform that with the Word of God. And we want to get a light bulb moment. We want to have revelation. And when we have revelation and we have this confidence that God's word is true, sometimes I've doubted God's word. And so I want to be fully persuaded like Abraham. I want to have a confidence that I know that when I speak his word, he hears me. And he hears me through his word, right? See, his word is what he has established on this earth. And when we adhere to his word and change our words to line up with his word, then we can always expect results. Amen? And you could go to 1 John, I think it's 5, that talks about this is the confidence that we have in him. Okay? And also, we had some questions last week about spirit, soul, and body. So we are a tripart being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that we are a spirit and a soul and a body. Well, where's our heart? In a real short nutshell, our heart is kind of like a connection point between our spirit and soul. And our heart can go whichever way that our soul really takes us. It can either go to our spirit, which is perfect in Christ, or we can take ourselves and our emotions, our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, we can take all of those things and line up with that, which we know what can be a roller coaster at some times, right? And then our body, which is our five senses. Can you all see that over there? Okay. So our five senses, and we could follow our body. And I'm really excited about tonight's lesson because we're actually going to get into some words that I think are very, very important. Now, your quiz right now, we're going to give you 2 minutes, 1 minute per scripture, write fast. The quiz for tonight was supposed to be, just write it somewhere on your notes. You can actually, I think I left you a spot. If you will go to your handout and go to session 2, God's Will or Plan for Healing and Health, it should be, what about page, about 4? Top of page 4, and there's some lines there. If I ask you to memorize 2 scriptures, last week you did 1 that you knew of. This week it's 2. I want you to write down the scripture that you memorized this week, both of those, and I want you to give us the address. For example, if it's 1 Peter 2:24, I would like for you to write that and go. Whatever your 2 scriptures are. Those of you watching on Facebook Live, go ahead and write down a couple of scriptures. All right. Were you able to do that? Yes. Pretty much? Okay, good. Remember, by the end of this class, this eight-week session, I want you to memorize five scriptures that you can remember. You know, what I did is, through the week, what I did is I just wrote it down every time I went over my notes. I would just keep on writing it over and over and over, and that's a good way to memorize. Okay, I got some more revelation between last week and this week. I've been planning for this for several months, but I really felt like we needed to go back before we went to point number three in our first lesson, which was healing is a part of our redemption. But before we get to healing as a part of our redemption, I needed to back up a little bit because I wanted to show you some things. So are you ready? I also told Pastor that it may be that we may be a little bit out of sync with how the lessons are planned, because I said, you know, like lesson three was going to be this, and lesson four was going to be here and be healed, and lesson this. Well, I'm not sure we're going to be able to keep it all in that order, but forgive me in advance, but I want to make sure we get what I want to get to you, impart to you, rather than stay with an outline. Okay? So we'll get there, but our weeks may be a little bit off, okay? So to continue, point two. Last week, point two was healing is the will of God for who? For everyone, okay? And so in session two, I want us to pick up at point two of that, about it's God's will or plan for healing and health. And I want us to look at this in Matthew 4. Now, we are going to take some time on these verses here. You know, it's Matthew 4, verses 23 through 25. And I want to take a little bit of time because I want you to see the importance here of some of the words that are listed in these scriptures. Now, you know, Jesus's plan, God's plan, was for healing to be for all and to all. For all what? Of all sicknesses. For all sicknesses. And to all. To everyone. To every person. Okay? So are you with me at Matthew 4, 23 through 25? We're going to be using our Bibles, and you need to, every time we go to a scripture, please highlight that scripture in the color that you have chosen for your healing text. And I'm going to go kind of slow here because there are some words I want you to get, okay? Matthew 4, 23 through 25. And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee. Now, you have to realize when Jesus is going during this time, this is sometimes hundreds of miles. Sometimes these places were 300 to 400 miles apart, and then you would have to trek back to go to wherever you lived. So they were always walking, and it took a long time. Can you imagine going 300 miles walking and over rough terrain? It would take you a while to get there. Sometimes we complain that we've got a two-hour flight, you know, but that's the kind of life, that's the kind of world that they lived in. And Jesus wanted to make sure that people all over heard. And so the all over was that part where he lived. Right? And even though there were other people in other nations around the world of that day, he only went so far, but when he went, he did exactly what he's asking us to do, is go into all the world. He's not asking us to do anything that he didn't do. So he went out into the known world of that time where he lived. So it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, and what was the first thing he was doing? He was teaching in their synagogues, and then what was he doing? And he was preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom. And then what did he do? And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, the word healing here is where we get the word therapy, and you Greek scholars will have to forgive me if I sometimes mispronounce a Greek word, okay? So it looks like this, T-H-E-R-A-P-E-U-O, therapeuo, is that right? Ah, got it right. All right. Just in case, I need to spell these out. Did you get that? T-H-E-R-A-P-E-U-O, Did you get that? Got it? Put a little, what's that little mark above the O? Makes it a long O. What's it called? It's like, it looks like a little dash. Whatever it is. Therapy. All manner of sickness. All manner of sickness. The word sickness there is either, I've heard two different ways, nosos or nosos. N-O-S, woo, disco time. Did you see those lights? All right, if you will actually look down at the bottom of your handout, you should actually have the spellings for those. Do you see that down at the bottom? Somewhere down there, it says several types of words or tenses for sickness and disease. Do you see that? Does everybody see that? Okay. You see that? Everybody got that? Raise your hand if you see where we're at. You got those words? You got those spellings? Okay, great. Okay, good. So, it says, and healing all manner of sickness. The first word there, sickness, N-O-S-O-S, means the disease itself. The disease itself. Okay? Do you see that? And all manner of disease. This is, hello. All manner of disease. Forgive us, Facebook land. We're all hooked up with our Facebook and it's coming in multiples. Malakia, I believe is how you pronounce it. All manner of disease. A malady. Debilitating and weak. Okay, so you may want to write that out there somewhere so you know what it means. Among the people, verse 24. Are we caught up so far? The first word, sickness, is the disease itself, N-O-S-O-S. The second word, disease, is malakia, which means debilitating or weak or malady. Okay, among the people, verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Okay, so here's another place that his fame spread. And I think it was about 300 miles from the location where he was to where you would go to the city, the capital city of Syria. Okay, but his fame was so far reaching that it went there. And listen what they did. And they brought unto him all sick people. Now, it looks like the word echo, E-C-H-O, but one pronunciation says eho. So I don't know. But anyway, I'm saying echo kakos, all right? Which means to be miserable. To be miserable. All sick people. You know, you've heard somebody say, boy, they've got it bad. Have you heard somebody say that when somebody gets sick? They've got it bad. That's what this means. They were miserable. So far, we've got sickness being the disease itself. We've got debilitating and a weak type of sickness. And then now we've got a miserable type of sickness, okay? Which means they've got it bad. And they brought all these sick people to him that were taken with various, the word diverse, because I use the King James Version, it's diverse. Various diseases, again, that is nosos, N-O-S-O-S. I think this next word is pronounced basanos, basanos. Do you see how to spell that? And it says torments, which is acute pain and torture. How many of you have had acute pain before? How many of you have been miserable before? How many of you have been weak before? You see how a lot of things are being covered in these words. Now, why they have all these different words, I don't know, because we say, oh, they're just sick, they're just sick, they're just sick. But if you go to a medical dictionary and see all the different illnesses that are in a medical dictionary, what are you going to get? You're going to get a whole list of all different kinds of symptoms. Okay, and it says torments, which would be torture, acute pain, and those which were possessed with devils, well, we know what that means, and those that were lunatic or mentally unstable, which sometimes we would call crazy. Okay, and those that had palsy, which is a disablement, to be disabled. So you're looking at you're weak, you're lame, you're infirmed in that way, in their extremities. And what did he do? He healed them. He healed them. And because he was preaching, and because he was teaching, and because he was healing, there followed him great multitudes of people. We're not talking 20 people. We're talking multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And he lists Decapolis in here, and I found this very interesting because Decapolis was an area of 10 cities. Okay, we get Deca from that. Okay, of 10 cities, but it was mostly made up of Gentiles. So he wasn't only ministering to the Jews. And we'll find out as we go on into these sessions that although the law was not for the Gentile, healing is. The blessings of Abraham are for all spiritual descendants, not just natural born descendants who ended up being Jewish. Isn't that something? The law was not intended for us, but the package of redemption was. And that's awesome. Okay? Now, let's move on. Matthew 8, 16 through 17. If you will turn there as quickly as you can and highlight as well, but if you can't highlight, make sure you take your notes, you go back this sometime this week, and you make sure you go back and highlight. Okay? And as you highlight, read what you're highlighting. That would be really good, really helpful if you would do that, okay? Now, there's some things in here that we need to see. Matthew 8, 16 through 17. Are you ready? When evening came, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits, how? With his word. And that is something that you need to make sure that you circle it or whatever with his word, and healed all that were sick. Here's the ekokakos, the miserable people. There's been times that I've been sick, but there's been really sick days. Sick is not good. I don't care how you want to package it. I don't care what kind of an excuse you want to give it. Sickness is not good. It is bad. Say sickness is bad. Exactly. Exactly. And it says in verse 17 that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus himself took our infirmities, asthenia, asthenia. I don't know if I have that. Yeah, I do have that one on that other page. Okay, took our infirmities. Now this means a common New Testament word for sick, weak, and the results of the illness. Nosos, N-O-S-O-S, is the disease itself. But then there is also the results of the symptoms of that sickness. Okay? He bore those. He took them. Well, if he took them, why do we have them? I'm probably going to make some people mad, but maybe we need to get mad enough that we aim our anger in the right place and say, I don't have to be sick. I don't have to have it at all. Just like I don't have to have sin. I was born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and I don't have to have sin in my life, and I am made the righteousness of God in Christ, so I don't have to become unrighteous and righteous and unrighteous and righteous based on what my body does or what my thought system does. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, so I am the healed of Christ. Amen. And in one of these sessions, we'll get to challenges and expectations, but my expectations is to never be sick again. You know, just because I use readers does not mean that I'm not believing that I don't have to use readers. In fact, I've been actually placing them down more than putting them on and expecting that every time that I read, that it gets better. Right? There's no condemnation in that. There's no I mean, if I were to, if I was in a casket and you had my glasses on, okay. That does not change the Word of God. The Word of God, regardless of what I've got on my face or what I don't have, the Word of God's still true. Amen. Okay? And I don't want to compromise. If Abraham and Sarah can have kids under another covenant that's not even as good as ours, and they could have them in their 90s and, you know, be in 100, and then later on, he lived long enough, he had another wife and more children after Sarah passed away. The man was energetic, you know? I'm just saying. So if that can happen for them, why can't we obtain the promises of God for us? Amen? And he took them. And then it says, and bear our sicknesses. This is another one, bore the disease itself. He bore the disease itself. See, he bore the disease itself, but he also took away what? The symptoms and the results of that sickness. He took it all. Just like he took all of our sin, he took all of our shame, all of our guilt, everything. He took it all. He took all of our sickness as well. Therefore, on the cross, he bore the disease itself and the results of the symptoms or disease. Amen. There's another word called arostos. Okay? This is a lingering sickness. How many of you have known people or experienced something that you just couldn't get over for a while? It just kind of lingered, you know, and it kind of lingered. That's not good. It's not good to have anything that lingers in your body. If it's not goodness, it doesn't belong in there. Amen? And so we're going to cover just a few verses here. Now remember up in Matthew 8, 16, I said, make sure you circle that he cast out spirits with what? His word. That's a key point. Okay? All right. Now, just want you to remember that. I like to go back and rehearse some things. Arostos, a lingering sickness, 1 Corinthians 11:30. This is talking about communion. As you're turning there, this is one of the verses that we use for communion. For this cause many are weak, asthenia, the results of sickness. 1 Corinthians 11:30. I talk faster than you turn. I apologize, but you can look back in your notes. For this cause many are weak, asthenia, results of sickness, and sickly, lingering sickness, arostos, among you, and many sleep or die prematurely. And why is that? Why is that? It's because they were not discerning the Lord's body as being broken for them. You know, communion, pastors said this before, communion is the happy meal. But it's also to be taken very reverently and very seriously. Because when we do not discern his body, was not only his blood was not only poured out for us to wash away, cleanse us, wash away all of our sin and cleanse us, but when we don't recognize, admit, adhere to, that his body was broken so that we would be made whole, we miss out. We actually miss out on what he intended. He intended for us not only to be washed clean, but to be made whole. And so we miss out on the benefits of salvation. Remember, we talked about what salvation meant. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 91, salvation was what? Jesus, Yeshua, deliverance, wholeness, safety, you know, everything, peace, shalom peace, all of that is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Okay, Matthew 14:14. Here's another one where we find the word arostos. And you have those listed there, so I'm going to go just a little bit faster right through these. Matthew 14:14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them. Well, you know, there's a lot of compassionate people, but that doesn't necessarily mean they do something with that compassion. But Jesus healed their sick. He healed their sick. And because we have his nature inside of us, we have that compassion. I have heard many people say, oh, I can't love that person because of what they did. Oh, yes, you can. If you are born again, you can. You're just choosing not to. We either need to believe that we're changed or not. And if you're the or not people, then just get out. I mean, just get out of Christianity. If you don't believe that God's word is God's word and it's true above everything else, then get out. There's no need to sit on the fence with the gospel. You either are a Christian or you're not. You either need to walk and talk and all that. Is that grace? Absolutely. Because it is the grace of God that enables us. It's his ability that enables us to walk out the way that he wants us to walk out and to live the way he wants us to live. That's not harsh. That's just truth. Remember, God's word is what? Truth. And the truth is God's reality. Yeah. So we need to live according to his reality. All right? I could start preaching. I won't. Okay. Mark 6, verse 5. I love this. Mark 6, verse 5. And it says in Mark 6, verse 5, and he, meaning Jesus, could there do no mighty work. Jesus could not do a mighty work. Why? We'll find out later why. But it says that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. I want you to make a note of that point, and we will come back to that later. But number one was, I wanted you to see in Matthew 8, was he spoke to that demon and cast it out. Okay? In this verse, Jesus couldn't do anything except heal a few sick folk that had a lingering sickness. There's a key point there. Mark 6:13. You don't have guard to go on that one. Mark 6:13. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, arostos, and healed them. I want you to make a note, anointed with oil. Mark 16:13. They cast out many devils. And I want you to make a point of anointed with oil, many that were sick. So that's the word arostos, a lingering sickness. Now, I wrote this down. I don't know if it's in your notes because some of the notes, I'm not sure if I passed along to you or not. It's God's will for all men to be saved. Amen? Amen. All right. But they must do what? They must receive it by faith. It's not automatic, is it? Nobody held me down and forced me to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Not even God himself. God didn't take me down and say, serve me. He didn't force me. He gave me the opportunity. Right? It's God's will for all men to be healed just as much as it is saved, but they must receive it by faith. Now, we're gonna talk here for just a few minutes about opposition. Now, I know we're going to get into a class about challenges and expectations, but I want you to be forewarned. I want you to know that you're going to be opposed. Okay? Now, I'm going to read really fast, but I want you to stay in Mark 6, and we're going to read this passage here, 1 through 6. Are you ready? You should still be there in Mark 6. Okay, you ready? And when Jesus went out from thence and came into his where? His own country. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day came, he began to teach. He was teaching again. I want you to make a note. There was teaching. So far, we have seen that there was casting out spirits with what? His word. We've seen that there was an anointing of oil. We have seen that he could not do, okay, more healings than just some lingering sicknesses at one point. Those are all key points. This is another one. He began to teach. and many hearing him. Hearing is a key. Were what? Astonished, saying, from where does this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? What wisdom? What wisdom? We heard wisdom proverbs today during the church service this morning. We heard wisdom, okay? That's a key point. Which is given unto him that even such mighty works were wrought by his hands. Hands, his hands is another key point you need to highlight. Not just highlight these scriptures, highlight those, but make a star beside it or something, okay? And then they said in verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Now, let's put this in perspective. Here's a man that grew up as a kid with all these people in his hometown, right? He was Joseph's son. He was the carpenter's son. And all of a sudden, he gets baptized in water, and his life completely changes. Don't you think that maybe you would have question marks above your head about what in the world has happened to Jesus? He's crazy. In fact, there's another verse that actually says they thought he was crazy. Why? Because this Jesus, before he was baptized, was a different Jesus than after baptism. Just like us. There should be such a difference in our pre-Christ and pre-baptism than there is after. There should be a difference between those two. It should actually be a noticeable difference to where people are scratching their head and saying, what's happened to you? Right? That's how we as Christians need to make sure we come out of the closet and stay out of the closet. Everything else does. Right? So we might as well. What are we at? Why should I be afraid of what somebody thinks of me? Why should I be intimidated? I shouldn't. I've got the greater one inside of me. I've got Almighty living there. And he should be reflected in what I do and what I say and how I behave. Right? Because he's inside of me. And when I yield to him, I look like him. When I don't yield to him, I look like a clown. You know? Some people may think I'm going to look funny now. Verse 4, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin. Kin is for your relatives, West Virginia version, okay? And his own house, his brothers and his sisters, his family were offended at him because he was doing the will of God. And if people are going to be offended at Jesus, don't you think they're going to be offended at you? When you say, yes, it's God's will for you to be healed, and they look at you like you just grew horns, right? That's why you need to know what the Word says. This is why we need to know what Scriptures say. Well, I just can't. Here's some excuses. Well, I just can't study all day long. Who said you had to study all day long? You could at least memorize a couple of scriptures, right? We all could do that, okay? So I'm not saying you have to just dig into your Bible and be in there hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. I know we have things to do, but you and I both can learn the basics of how to lead someone to Christ, of how to get someone, you know, born again and spirit-filled and walking in their fullness. We should be able to do that. Okay, I'm getting off on a subject. Okay, all right. And in verse 5, and he, here we go back to verse 5. He could, did it say would? No, it said could not, right? He could there do no mighty work. He could not do a mighty work there. Why? It says that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them, but he marveled because of their unbelief. That's a key point. Unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. That's a key point. Okay? Now, I want to mention this to you. How will, in Romans 10, you don't have to go there, but how will they hear, you can write down Romans 10, how will they hear the gospel without a teacher? How are you going to hear without a teacher? How am I going to hear without a teacher? I'm not. I have the Holy Ghost. I have men of God. I have sisters and brothers in the Lord that help can help me learn about what does the Word of God say. So what he did is he marveled because of their unbelief, but he didn't stop. He didn't throw up his hands and say, okay, everybody's offended at me. Not going to do this anymore. I've upset too many people. Oh my goodness, I couldn't heal anybody worse than just a lingering sickness or a little small, you know, nosebleed. Stuffy nose. I couldn't do it, so I'm just going to give up and I'm not going to do it anymore. Did he have that attitude? No. No, he didn't have that attitude. On the cross, he was willing to suffer it all for us to receive what? Salvation. Being saved, right? Spiritually. And being saved physically, right? In Mark 3:21, his friends and his family thought that he was crazy, that he was insane. Mark 3:21. You don't have to turn there. Just make sure you highlight it when you go back. In John 7, verse 5, it says that his brothers didn't believe in him. In Mark 3:21 again, family and friends thought he was crazy, out of his mind, that he was insane. John 7:5 said that his brethren didn't believe in him. He had a lot of people that didn't believe in him, but you know what? They had a lot of people that did and received from him. In Matthew 9:24, this is the story of Jairus' daughter, and it actually says that people laughed him to scorn. They literally laughed at him. And you know what he did? He raised her from the dead. They had to be removed. It did not stop him from doing what he was meant to do. So don't let offense, don't let opposition, don't let people laughing at you, don't let people scorning you keep you from the mandate that is on your life as a believer. A mandate on your life as a believer is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and then we'll go to the signs later of all those different signs, okay? All right, so you good? Does anybody need a break? We're good? Okay, all right, I'm going to keep going. All right, here we go. Luke 5:17. Let's actually turn to this. I want you to see this. Luke 5:17. Praise God, praise God. I am so glad that we're having healing school. So glad. We had a lady, while you're turning there, we did have another testimony from last week about the head area. A woman had fallen in the shower on vacation last Friday, a week ago Friday, and it injured her head. She heard the word of knowledge that came forth last Sunday night, and the pain decreased. And by the next morning, she said it was much, much improved, and the place above her head was not as tender. So she received that as well. Amen? Amen. Luke 5:17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. Make a point right there. He was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Just because, I'm going to put this in there. I just now saw this. Just because there may be people that know a little bit more than you about a particular subject does not mean they know everything. And it doesn't always mean that they know what's right. So don't let that hinder you. They were sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And it says the power of the Lord now was present to heal them. But if you will see, present should be in italics. And some italics are okay. It tries to help you understand. But if we were to read this, it would actually say, and the power of the Lord was to heal them. The power is meant to make a difference. And wherever you are, the power is present. Right? 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6. They both say that we are what? That we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's not powerless because he lives in me. He is powerful and he lives in me. Romans 8, 10 and 11. We covered that this morning at church. The same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. So his power, because of his location and wherever I am, he is, his power is present. His power is to heal. Okay? But it never says, in these verses, it never says that those who thought they knew it all, the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, it never says that they received anything from him. Although the power was there. You see that? That's another key point. The power is present. The power is there to heal. But that doesn't always mean somebody's going to receive it. Okay? But if we were to read on in the story, and we won't tonight, it says that the man on the stretcher let down through the roof was healed because of their faith. That's another key point, is their faith. Our ministry is to teach and preach the gospel with all of its benefits, which include healing and divine health. Amen. Dr. Dean Radke says the repetition is the motor of learning. It secures an emphasis. Now, on your notes, do you have Paul, Peter, and Jude? Do you have that? Go back and look at that later. That's just showing where they all three said it was very important for you to hear the word repeatedly. Okay? So that's just in your own spare time. You go look at that. All right, now, last week. Now we're starting part three here soon. Last week, we ended up with the Jesus saying that his doctrine or his teaching was do the will of God. And we covered John 6:38 and John 7:16. Okay, do you remember that? That's where we actually ended. Now, I'm not going to read this entire passage of Mark 1, 23 through 28, 22 through 28, Mark 1, 22 through 28. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there are some key words that I want you to see. And you know what? We're going to read it anyway. Because this is important. Y'all hanging there? Y'all with me? Okay, good. Mark 1, 22 through 28, his doctrine. And they were, are you there? 122? Okay. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Do you know that the best teacher in the world is the Holy Spirit? And this morning when a young man was up here, and I'm not going to call out his name, a young man was up here and the Lord was saying, you know, you don't have to be stressed at your job, okay? I was sitting there praying, Father, grant him wisdom beyond his natural learning. And many times when we are praying for people who go through surgery, that is one of the key things that I say, Father God, I'm praying for that physician. Beyond their natural learning, beyond their natural instruction, you guide their hands, Holy Spirit, to help them know exactly what they need to do beyond their natural learning. I believe in that. I believe that because, see, it wasn't as the scribes that he taught with authority. It was the authority of God that he taught. And that's why they were astonished. And you're going to run into people that are going to do the same thing to you and wonder, where did you come from? Where did you get such wisdom?
Where did you get comprehension? Where did you get that authority? How in the world can you pray like that? How can you handle this situation in your life? How? Those are awesome questions. But if you don't answer them, they won't know. So we have to be prepared to answer the questions that they have. And we need to have that commanding authority, and that's, I love those two words together, commanding authority, and I've been using that a lot, so we'll continue. And in verse 23, now when Jesus was teaching with this authority that they did not recognize, okay, it says, and there was in a man, here's the result, there was a man in their synagogue that had an unclean spirit, and he... The man cried out, but it was the unclean spirit that was crying out through the man. You see that? Saying, let us alone. What have we, so there was more than one demon involved, right? What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Huh. Are you come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art. The Holy One of God. Now, isn't that something? The demons recognized him, but the religious Pharisees and scribes did not. They were like, who's this dude teaching us? When the demon recognized him. And that is because spiritual things are more tangible and noticeable if you're tuned in than things that are natural. And the spiritual will change the natural. Amen? And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, wow, that man, bless his heart. This was a demon that tore at him. Man. And cried with a loud voice and came out. And when they did, it says, and they were all amazed. Insomuch that they started probably scratching their head and like, what in the world is going on? Questioning among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What thing is this? This is a new doctrine? Is this a new doctrine? Well, it certainly wasn't the kind of doctrine that they were teaching. Right? It wasn't a doctrine that they were believing in. Now look at this. For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Do you know you have that commanding authority? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have been empowered with the power of God, the raising from the dead type of God. Right? You have been empowered and equipped, and you can manifest the power, the wisdom, the healing of God when you tune in. And you and I can have a commanding authority, and it will obey us. It will obey us. And it says, and immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. Amen. That is good. That is good. Okay, you ready? We're going to keep going. Point 3 of session 1 from last week. We finally got here. Point 3. Healing is part of our redemption. Healing is part of our redemption. Thank you, Jesus. How many quick healers do we have in here? Amen, amen. For those of you that weren't here during that service, I testified about how a doctor told me I was a quick healer, and I latched on to that. I latched on to that, and I am a quick healer. Amen? And to the point that I'm so healed that I'm healed. I just expect every day to start my day and end my day walking in health. That's just what I expect. Remember, we're taking our doubts, our traditions, our unbeliefs, our beliefs. We're taking all of those things and we're transforming them with the Word of God and allowing that transformation to actually be so tangible that we have this revelation, this tangible revelation, something that can be seen. And what are we supposed to do? Expect results, right? Expect results. All right, healing is part of our redemption. 1 Peter 2:24. How many of you wrote this verse down as one of the two verses? I did. How many? Okay, we got about seven people in here that wrote that verse down as one of those others. Memorized. How many of you did Matthew 8:17? Okay, how many did Isaiah 53? Okay, 3 John 2. Awesome. Good. There's a lot more. There's a lot more in there. I mean, a lot more. Even some of the ones that Pastor was mentioning this morning, like, you're stepping on my message. That's fine. We need to hear it over and over. Okay, 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins, correct? In his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Well, if I were, then I am. Amen. Now, healing is part of our redemption. I love how these verses come together because it says sins to righteousness, stripes to healed. I trust in him that when I'm forgiven of my sins and washed clean of my sins, I obtain what? Righteousness. So in the same verse, if I believe that part, I should just believe the second part, that by the stripes that were laid upon him, I was healed. You see how it goes together? They go together because the word salvation is all inclusive. Okay? When we are forgiven and we are saved, it is an inclusive word that means healed and whole and at peace and at rest and secure and saved in every area, okay? It's not when I'll just pick this part and be okay with this. I'll just pick, oh, I'm forgiven of my sins and I'll be okay with that. No, I want the whole package. When I get a gift, I want to know what's in that gift. I want every bit of that gift, amen? And that's how I am regarding this. Okay, Galatians 3:13-14. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Galatians 3:13-14. We're talking about healing as part of our redemption. Yet Christ paid the full price. Oh, I'm in the Passion Translation on this one. Yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. You will find the curse of the law in Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28. Well, you'll find the blessings and cursings in 27 and 28. If you want to write that down. He absorbed it completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is doubly cursed. Jesus, our Messiah, was cursed in our place. Say, in our place. And in doing so, look at what he did. Dissolved the curse from our lives so that all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out upon even the non-Jewish believers. See, earlier I said what? Said we are not natural descendants. Right? We Gentiles are not natural descendants, but we're spiritual descendants, which is far superior and more important than being a natural descendant of Abraham. And now God gives us the promise of the wonderful Holy Spirit who lives within us when we believe him. You know, all mankind came from Adam and Eve, regardless of what race you are. But really, there are only two races on the planet, Jews and Gentiles. Skin tone has no mix. I mean, it has no importance in that. We are either a Jew or we are a Gentile. That's it. You're either an unbeliever or a believer. Okay? So the blessings of Abraham And we could do a long study on Abraham, but he was not a godly man at first. He actually worshiped a moon god. And when God spoke to him, his life changed. When God spoke to me, my life changed. And I went from being that kind of Rhea to this kind of Rhea, and I like this kind of Rhea much better, okay? So the blessings of Abraham included things that he didn't have. He didn't have wealth. He didn't have peace. He didn't have God, okay? He didn't have favor. He didn't have long life. But once he started to listen to God and follow God's mandates, then he had peace. He had wealth. He had health. He had favor, and he had a long life. So in Christ, we become so blessed like Father Abraham, all right, that all of these things should start appearing in our lives. And that includes healing and divine health. See, it's not just about healing, it's about divine health. Remember 3 John 2? Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. Be in health. Be in health. I have to say that again. Be in health. In health. In health. What a I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I'll say it multiple times. Wouldn't that be a testimony? To actually say for the next 50 years, I've never had a headache. I mean, just that. You know, I've never had it. Had a headache, never had a cold, never had a sniffle, never had any of that. Wouldn't that be a testimony? Don't you think people take notice? Yeah, I think that's what needs to happen, is we need to have the Word of God bringing noticeable change in us so that people actually sit up and take notice, right? All right. Now, I love this, and Pastor taught me this. Let's go up to the top of that verse, 13, Galatians 3 through 13. Christ paid the full price. The word here means to take us off the market. To take us off the market. You know, in slavery still goes on today. And there are a lot of people on the market. But Jesus Christ took us off the market because he bought us back. He redeemed us. He purchased us. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, it says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that we were bought with a price. And this means that he went to the market, so to speak, and he bought us back. He purchased us. He purchased us so that he could live in us. In Luke 4, 18, it says that he was proclaiming liberty to the captives. Captives in this scripture means slavery and even satanic power. And when you give deliverance to the captives, I wanted to read this to you. To give liberty to a slave was to restore him to freedom. It was to confer the highest benefit and impart the richest favor. And in this manner, the gospel of Jesus Christ imparts favor. Isn't that wonderful? He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. And that's also referred to in Isaiah 61. The blessing of Abraham was not to his seeds, his natural descendants. It was to his seed. Let's go to Galatians 3:16. You should already be in that area. Galatians, because we were at 13 and 14. Galatians 3:16 says, now to Abraham and his seed, not seeds, seeds would represent his natural descendants, were the promises made, and he does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. And in verse 29, it goes on to say, and if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, we are the spiritual seed of Abraham because we are Christ. And that means that we get all the benefits of Abraham and all the benefits of Christ Jesus. He laid down his richness. He laid down the comforts of heaven, the comforts of glory, and became a man so that we could have the comforts of glory, that we could walk in his fullness, that we could reap the benefits of what he paid for. He bought us off the market. He paid for us. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer slaves to this body. We're no longer slaves to this body. Now, what do I mean by that? Listen, if we all are going to get older, but we do not have to get old. We can age gracefully, as many people say. We can age gracefully. Now, just because we get older doesn't mean that our bodies have to fall apart. Now, I hear often people, are we okay? Okay. If we buy into the lie that our bodies are falling apart, we will have our bodies falling apart as we get older. Do I need to have the body of a 14-year-old? No, I don't. But I need to have the best body that I can have at 57. Now, if I give in to what the media says, what family may say, what life says, then I am going to fall apart. But I am choosing to live the abundant life in Jesus Christ. This is my medicine cabinet. And I'm allowing this to take precedence over what my body and my soul want to tell it. It's amazing how we talk ourselves into sickness. It's amazing how we talk ourselves into this ache or this pain or this isn't working or I'm doing this and I shouldn't be doing that or my body's doing this and oh man, I can't get up off of the floor like I used to. And granted, we will have challenges. I get that. But I'm telling you what, I'm still getting up. The well, get up. And I'm not exactly sure of the scripture verse at this point. Our health springs forth speedily. Isaiah 58. Somebody can look that up. Now, we have 20 minutes to go. Y'all doing good? Praise God. Hope you out there in Facebook land. I call it Facebook land. Whatever. You know, it's good. We're good. I hope you're 58:8, Isaiah 58:8. Somebody read that real quick, please. Does anybody have it? Did you see how when she, did you hear that? Your health. Health. Health is an established. Healing is sometimes a progressive. Healing, something that is changing, but health means I'm in this state of being. And that's where I want to live. I want to live in health. I'm going to keep going, all right? Now, let's go through the next several verses speedily, all right? We're doing good. We're talking about, in this third point, we're talking about the redemption, that healing, divine health, is a part of our redemption. I want to talk about the double cure. We already saw in 1 Peter 2:24, where we saw that our sins convert to righteousness. And our sins convert to righteousness, and the stripes convert to what? Being healed, right? Are healed. In Isaiah 53, and there was a typo on your sheet. It should be verse 4. We're starting in verse 4. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. Do you see that? Okay, you could correct that, please. I have some words that we're going to do the same thing just like we did with sickness.
Bring your mic off. There's a hiss that could be bothering me on one.
Okay, I'll just have to talk with one hand. Okay? Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. This is prophesying of Jesus. Surely, say surely. That is a matter of fact. That's done. It's a done deal. Surely. He will? Even Isaiah was prophesying as it's done. You see that? Not he's going to, but he has. Surely he has borne our griefs. Griefs there is sickness. And carried our sorrows. Sorrows there is pain. Anybody had some sicknesses and pains? Well, it says that he bore them. He carried them away. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. This is our rebellion and our guilt. He was bruised, he was crushed, he was broken for our iniquities. Let me tell you what iniquities here is. Perversity, depravity, this takes in everything, guilt, punishment for sin. The chastisement or the discipline, the correction of our shalom peace was upon him. Shalom means completeness, soundness, and welfare. I'll cover these in a moment again. And with his stripes, his bruise, his wound, his blow. How many times was he stricken with the cat of nine tails? 39. Blow after blow after blow. He took that upon himself so that he could be our healer. The word here for healed is Rapha. The Lord, our healer. I'm going to go back over those. The word griefs is sickness. The word sorrows is pains. The word transgressions meant rebellion and guilt. You know, Adam and Eve rebelled against what God had established. He was bruised or crushed or broken for our iniquities. Iniquities is perversity, depravity, or guilt. He was punished for our sin. The chastisement, the discipline of our peace, our shalom, our completeness, our soundness, and our welfare was upon him. And with his stripes, he was wounded. Blow by blow, and we what? Are healed. Are healed. Say are healed. Are healed. And the word there is Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, which means the Lord our healer. I've heard the old words, double cure. There is a double cure in Christ. He took care of our spirit, right? And he took care of our body. Psalm 103, 1 through 3 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now look, here's the double cure again. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? That's awesome. That is a double cure. At the cross, he took it all. He paid it all. Right? Mark 16. Hallelujah. It says in Mark 16. I love this. I love this.
Mark 16, 15 through 20. I'm going to read fast. Are you there yet? Some are, some aren't. Okay, I'm going. Go, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach. That's a highlight. Preach the what? The gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now look at this, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer? Then these signs can follow you. These signs, yes, they should. They can follow you, but it's up to you to let these signs follow you. You have to go, you have to preach the gospel, and then you need to expect that these signs are going to follow you. In his name, shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. This is supernatural immunity. We are not trying to tempt God by handling a snake. That is just stupidity. They shall lay hands on the sick. But I tell you what, I'm glad that I have supernatural immunity when I live in this world and the stuff that you see going on. They shall lay hands on the sick. That's another point. Lay hands on the sick. This sick is the arostos, the lingering sickness as well. And they shall recover. And I love this. To recover is to possess a good place. To recover is to possess a good place. When you are sick, it is not a good place. I remember, and I'll be really quick with this, I remember when I was actually going through chemotherapy, and one of the drugs that they had given to me, a few days later, like that first 7 days after I went through therapy, I laid on a mattress in our floor. I had to be comfortable wherever I could get. And so I was laying up against the wall because the wall was cool. It's just weird. But anyway, we put the mattress up against the wall so the wall, I could back up to the wall and my back could be really cool. But one of the drugs made me feel like there were a million bugs crawling all over my skin. You know, you see those weird movies where they got bugs crawling all over. I can't even hardly look at that because it reminds me of a feeling, you know. And it was not a good place. And that's what I remember. It was not a good place. I don't want to be in that place. I want to be in a good place. I don't want to have even the feelings of a drug doing something inside of my body that makes me feel like my skin is crawling with millions of bugs. Okay? That's not a good place. That's not a good place. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they did what he said. Look, they did the go. They did the go, and it was just a few verses above that he was upset with them because of their unbelief. And yet he still trusted them to go, and they went. They went, and they did what? They preached everywhere, right? The Lord working with, and you can use the word them, because yes, he was working with them, but it would be the Lord working with the word they were preaching and confirming that word with signs following. See, God works with us, but he's going to work with the word that we're preaching, the gospel that we are sharing. That is what he will confirm. Amen. Amen. And I love this. Remember earlier we were over in Mark 6 and we were talking about the commanding authority. I'm sorry, Mark 1 about commanding authority. Here's what Jesus did. Matthew 10, verse 1. Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them, say them, that means me. Say that means me. Right? Because we're his disciples. We just read about go into all the world, and it was about believers. These signs shall follow them that believe. So we can apply Matthew 10 to us because they ended up being believers, and they were the ones that were sent out. So we're believers, and we're the ones sent out, right? Matthew 10:1. And when he called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power, commanding power against unclean spirits to do what? To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He says here in my little chicken scratches up here, says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is now. Verse 8, heal the sick. Heal the sick. His command is to heal the sick. His command is to heal the sick. You have been and I've been given commanding authority to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to purify the lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out devils. Freely we've received, freely give. Luke 9. He also talks in Luke 9, and we're going to speed up here just for a few minutes. Luke 9, 1 and 2. The same as Matthew 10, 1 and 8. And Mark 3, 14 and 15. Luke 9, 1 through 12, 2. Mark 3, 14 through 15, and Matthew 10, 1 and 8, which we just read. Then he called, these are all the same story. These are the synoptic gospels, okay? They all have similar viewpoints. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. When we are preaching the gospel and we are preaching about the kingdom of God, we have to include healing the sick. In Luke 10, he says, heal the sick that are therein and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh to you. Healing is in the kingdom. We need to, with healing, we need to make sure that we are developing a kingdom culture. We need to develop a kingdom culture within our own soul that will change where we live. When we develop, the way we develop a kingdom culture in our soul is to meditate upon the Word of God. To see His Word as sole authority over our lives. We are inundated all the time, wherever we go, with what the world wants us to have in our soul, what the world wants us to have in our mind, what the world wants to have in our emotions, what the world wants us to have in our body. But the Holy Spirit is telling us that we need to develop a kingdom culture in our soul, and allowing that kingdom culture in our soul to transform our lives. Amen? And I want to end with this. To be healed is for our comfort and His glory. I'm going to end with this story. I used to have allergies. From the time I was about 5 years old, I started having really, really bad headaches. And they found out that I was allergic to a lot of different things. So I was on medication. And Pastor, as my witness, if I ever tried to get off that medication, it would just make me sick, like vomiting sick. I would just get, and it was just an allergy tablet, but it would just make me so sick to get off of it. And we got married, so I was about 5 years old when they first put me on medication. I took that medication till I was about 22, 23, somewhere through there. And I took a week's vacation because I was on a mission. And I took a week's vacation, and I went to healing school at Rhema. And I sat every day at healing school and listened to the Word. I was allowing a kingdom culture of by the stripes of Jesus I was healed to be developed within me. And on the last day, Brother Hagin, the man who started the school, he said, the reason that you are to get healed is not so you can go out and play tennis. It's to glorify God. And those words, is playing tennis okay? Sure. Is doing other things? It's okay. But those words, glorify God, were that light bulb moment for me that my soul grabbed a hold of that and my heart became so fully persuaded that healing belonged to me and I did not have to live with those allergy symptoms. I did not have to stay on allergy medication the rest of my life because it was comfort for me, but it wasn't just about me. It was about glorifying God as a testimony of His goodness, of His saving power, not only spiritually, but also physically. And I have clung to that. And you know what? Over the years, I started that weekend on that Friday, that Saturday, I woke up wanting cranberry juice. I had no idea why in the world did I want cranberry juice. So we went out and we were house sitting for some friends and we got some cranberry juice. And I just chugged that cranberry juice all weekend long, not knowing that it was a cleanser, that it helps cleanse your body. And I believe that listening to the Holy Spirit and accepting that I was supposed to be healed to glorify God, that every year since then, at first, a little bit of a challenge. My body didn't know what to do with not having to take that medicine anymore. But I did not take that medicine, and year after year after year, I just improved and improved and improved and improved. And this past year, I mean, I'm 57 now, and I was about 23 years old. And this past year, I think I had one day that I had a little bit of an issue. But other than that, I can smell the grass. I can pet a dog. I can hold a cat. I can do all kinds of things because I'm no longer allergic. But it was trying to be one of those lingering sicknesses that tried to stay on, but my heart and my mind still go back to the well, get up, and I'm going to glorify God. Amen. Father God, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Father God, for Your goodness. I thank You that everything that has been said tonight will just sink in and be revelation to all of us because, Father God, we want to know what Your Word says above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I'm going to forewarn you, next week, I want you to be ready to write one or two paragraphs. How would you answer when someone says to you, it's God's will for them to be sick? Or if they make the statement, God allows sickness for a greater purpose. In fact, if you get here early enough, get here about 10 till, then we won't have to take the time during class. If you get here about 10 till, 5 till, go ahead and start writing your paragraph, okay, about how would you answer, okay? I love you guys very much. Thank you. You are awesome. And we'll see you next week. I'll see you Wednesday, okay? We need some help with the tables if you have time to stay. Thanks.